Thank God. Well, I had it in on my heart to talk about speaking in tongues today, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and whether you've already had that experience or you've never had that experience, it's good to be stirred up on that. Or if you haven't, we're going to go through the scriptures, what it says in the Bible, because you know not everybody believes that. Not everybody. Some people believe that's of the devil. Well, it's in the Bible. And it's just a vital thing that is part of being a Christian. It's not a secondary experience. I mean, it's a secondary experience from salvation, but it is standard equipment. It should be part of our equipment as a Christian. It's not something that's really optional, although technically it's optional, but it's you know, as far as people don't have to receive it, but then again, they don't have to receive Jesus either. So it is something that helps us in life, that gives us boldness. The early church had it. If God provided something for me, I don't want to do without it. And if the early church had it, there's nothing in the Bible that says that it stopped, that it's invalid for the day. There's just nothing that says that. And so if they had it and the Bible teaches it, then I want it, and I want to have it working in my life. So we're just going to go through scriptures, and I think we'll get through it today, but there's a lot here. I didn't even realize it ran over to a third page. That's mostly because there's just several examples. But if we don't, we'll pick it up next week. We're not in any hurry. But we'll just see where we go, how far we get. But let's start in Romans. I just wanted to read a couple scriptures that do refer to the speaking, that refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or praying in the Spirit, and some benefits. And we might come back to that. But just before we get into the scriptures that talk about speaking in tongues and everything, why? What are some of the benefits? So let's go to Romans 8:26. Now, we don't want to believe anything because somebody told us, if it's not based on the Word of God. The reason we believe anything should go back to the Bible. It should not be tradition. Traditions aren't bad. But if we can't find it in the Bible, then something's wrong. It should be in the Bible. Romans 8:26. And if you have a scripture sheet, you know, we'll go pretty near in order. But that kind of gives you all the things that I may touch on, but not necessarily in order. It's good just to follow in the Bible. If you can, I'm going to turn to everything in the Bible. So it's not like you're going to save any time, but this is for your reference. And if you don't know where they are or whatever, that's good. But sometimes I refer to things that are right before the scripture or right after, and then it's not there. So this doesn't take a place of the Bible. It's kind of a convenience. And eventually we'll have that on a screen. And we, you know, but right now we have scripture sheets. So Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been there? You know you need to pray, but you're not exactly sure how to pray. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Another translation says, with groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One of the ways this happens is through speaking in tongues, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to, like, again, we're kind of, in one way, putting the cart before the horse, but just a flyover to give some benefits of why would we even want to do that. Verses 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you don't know what to pray, how are you going to do it in English? If I don't know what I ought to pray for, how am I going to do that? Now, he can get it through to you and give you wisdom to pray out in English. It works both things. It's not all or one. And we can pray in the Spirit in English, and we can pray in the Spirit in another tongue. But they go together. But if we don't know, one of the main reasons, if we don't know what to pray for, we can pray in tongues. And what God is doing, He is praying through us. We're yielding our mouth to Him, hooking it up with our spirit, because it's our spirit that communes with Him, hooking our mouth up to our spirit and allowing Him to pray through us in a. It's just like when He inspires you to pray in English, but you don't know what you're praying. Well, He can pray through you His will, and He knows what needs to be prayed. And when you are yielding yourself to pray that, it's like a secret weapon. Because God knows what needs to be done, but he needs people to pray for it. And so you're allowing God to pray through you the things that he knows need to be prayed. You see how powerful that is? You're yielding yourself to him. It's the same thing in English. When you yield yourself to pray the things that need to be prayed, but when we don't know what needs to be prayed, that's a good time to pray in other tongues. Somebody put it this way. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. If you don't know what to do, pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. And then a lot of times, you'll get direction on what to pray for. You'll get direction on what you should, and things will come to you in English. Okay, now I know the direction we ought to go. I can't tell you the number of times, I'm a software engineer, how many times I've done that on my job. God, show me. Either in English, God, show me. Show me what to do. And give it, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. But when I don't know what the problem is, in another place it says he can give you interpretations of your tongues. You can pray in other tongues, and then an idea comes. This is where the problem is. Or why don't you look at this? That's like an interpretation of your tongues. God can give it through you through a picture. He can give it to you through words. It doesn't have to be somebody else interpreting. You can interpret your own tongues, but God can give you direction. I don't know what the problem is, but you do. That works in your personal life. You can pray, and he can show you what to do. That's powerful. My pastor in Nebraska, when we used to attend the church in Nebraska, he woke up in the middle of the night. And he did not know, he just felt like he should pray, but he didn't know what. And he felt like his son, I think he said he felt specific like his son was in trouble. His son was on a camping trip, and he was a teenager at this point. But he woke up, and it was just like, pray for Jeff. He does not have any clue what to pray for. He got woke up, it was like 3 or 4 in the morning or something. He didn't know. And he just started praying in tongues. He doesn't know what to pray for. He prays in tongues for, just whatever the problem is. He talks to his son either the next day or, after that. At that point, there was a big grizzly bear walking through the campsite. Somebody woke up, realized what was happening, was just like still, and was walking through their campsite with his child there. And they checked times and everything, and it was the same time when he started praying for his son. He did not know what to pray for, but he prayed. See, when you don't know what to do, God knows what to pray for. God knows to pray protection or whatever, or to get something out of the way. He knows. That's why he's given it to us. See, people have sidetracked. Well, this is of the devil. We're going to show you in the Bible where it is. But it's not. We don't need that anymore. Oh, yeah, we need it. If you haven't reached the point where you know everything, yeah, God has given it to us, and the Holy Spirit is the one on this earth right now, and he gives us utterance. So, one reason is we want to know what to do in situations where we don't want to know. Let's turn over to Jude 20. When we don't know what to do, we can pray in tongues. Jude 20 and 21. Says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But you, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. I put this in your scripture sheet too. Building yourselves up, where it says that. This word means this. I can't even pronounce that word. But means to build upon, to rear up. Building yourselves up. It's to build you up. When you're praying, it edifies you in the Spirit. It builds you up. It strengthens you. When you feel like down, or if you feel like you're kind of having an off day, or stuff is fuzzy, to pray in the Spirit. Now that can be, again, it can be English, but it can be with other tongues. And sometimes you just don't know what's going on. And just to spend some time praying in the Spirit, that builds you up. It's like recharging your battery. It's like getting you pumped up. And the thing is, the world will try to take the charge off your battery. He'll try to pull it down, the world. Things happen. We know, we go through life. Somebody says something here to us, kind of snide, or something happens here, and that just kind of can wear you down. How do you stay full? Well, you read the Word of God. Another way, to pray. Pray, building yourselves up. Keep yourself charged up. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4. 14, 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. See, pretty much, if you look, just read 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. It all talks about speaking in other tongues. You pretty much have to say this went away somehow, because it's completely talking about speaking in other tongues, if you're not going to believe it. You just pretty much have to cut out these few chapters from the Bible and other ones. But in verse 4 is what I wanted to specify right now or focus on. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Again, builds up. But he who prophesies edifies the church. And so I put that word there. It means to construct or confirm. Edify, embolden. When you are speaking in tongues, you edify himself. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You build yourself up. You embolden yourself. And we're going to see when we read in Acts that Jesus told the church, don't go and start witnessing about me. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is given you. He said to wait for this. He did not tell them to go out and start telling people until you received the Holy Spirit. It emboldened them to share the gospel. And when you're building your... It says in 1 Corinthians, here what we just read, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, build yourself up. You build yourself up and you embolden yourself when you're feeling kind of off. Speaking in tongues is a great way. God gave us that as a way to charge ourselves. Yes, we can read the Word. Yes, we can pray. We can praise God in English. Yes, we can pray in English. But we can also pray in other tongues. It's not this or that. It's another tool. It's another thing that we can do. It charges your batteries. So those are just a few things, and we'll go into those things, maybe more, but why would we even want to pray in tongues? These are some of the benefits. Well, we're going to go through now and show you in Acts, okay, it's good to have, just refresh us, even if we haven't seen these, to see them, but if we have, just to get down. I have all these marked in my Bible. You know, if you ever are telling, somebody wants to know, well, what the heck, why do you believe that? Well, here's why. I have them all marked. But let's go back to Mark 16. Ideally, we ought to be able to give reasons why we believe what we believe. Otherwise, we're just taking somebody's word for it. And we ought to believe things because they're in the Bible. So this is the Great Commission. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Those are all things. God gave us the Great Commission. He did not just go and say, preach about me. He said all of this. Let's read it again. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Some people say, oh yeah, I believe that. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Oh yeah, I believe that. And these signs will follow those who believe. Okay, wait a minute now, I don't know. In my name they will cast out demons. Oh, you mean there's demons today? Oh yeah, there is. They didn't go away. What? Show me the verse that says they went away. What do you think the world's in the mess that it is? You think the devil does it all himself too? No, he's got demons. They're angels, fallen angels, just like angels of God. And just like angels of God go about ministering for those who are saved, the devil's trying to do the opposite. And it's in chaos because they're all liars. So you imagine the chain of command on that side. The higher devil says, hey, did you get that done? Oh, yeah, I got it done. He didn't get it done. How does anybody believe anybody when they're all liars and cheaters? Seriously. Think about the chaos that must be on the dark side. They all hate each other. They're all shooting for to be higher than the other person. They're all backstabbing. How can you run anything like that? Well, that's the way it is on the dark side. It's not like, oh, yes, sir, I did it. Well, why should I believe you? You're out trying to get people to lie. That's the way it is. Thank God we're not on that side. But there are demons today. Yes, there are. They didn't go away. Yes, there are things. People want to, oh, it doesn't exist. No, you're fooling yourself. That's the best shield that the devil can have is when people don't think he exists. If you don't think a burglar exists, then there's no chance he can do whatever he wants because he doesn't exist, right? There's no chance. Well, people have been deceived and think, well, there's no devil. That's archaic. Well, you bought the lie. He's going to eat your lunch. No heaven, no hell. Another lie. There's a hell. And guess who it's meant for? It's meant for the devil and his angels. And people that believe the lie that there's no Jesus, even though God himself paid the price, he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. People act like it's some game. Oh, you set up heaven and hell. No, hell and the lake of fire is going to be for the devil and his angels. He never meant a human being to be there. That's why he sent Jesus. But people are going to follow the deceptions of the devil and go to the same place he's going. God doesn't want anybody to go there. He does not want anybody to perish. Anyway, there are demons. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Who's this talking about? These signs will follow those who believe. Verse 17, the beginning. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. If we're believers, it's saying this is what ought to follow you. And part of that is speaking with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. You don't got to be in fear all the time. You're going to eat the wrong thing. Paul over in Acts, he was building a fire, got bit by a serpent. Deadly snake. All the natives go, oh boy, this is it. He's dead. Be like if a cobra came out. You know, you guys know what a cobra is. You'd recognize that. All of a sudden there's a cobra there and he strikes. Paul just shook it off. And they're waiting. They're watching him, waiting for him to die. He's going to puff up and die. He just shook it off. Nothing ever happened. Then they decided he must be a god or whatever. But you know it says in there, all the people on the island were healed. Hold on. I'm not going to make you turn there, but I'm just going to show you the verse I'm talking about so you can look it up later. I'm just going to read this to you. It's in chapter 28 of Acts. Now, when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. Still exists today, right? Malta, it's off Italy. And the natives showed up us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to them, they changed their minds and said he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizens of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They had a revival. That's one of the things that's supposed to happen. Follow believers, right? That's what it's saying in Mark. So back in Mark 15, verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. That doesn't mean we're going to I'm not going to pick up a cobra just to pick up a cobra. It means the cobra comes after me. I'm not going to die. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's what Paul just did. We read it, right? Same thing. He's a believer. This is the ministry of Paul. Nothing says that passed away either. But in verse 17, they will speak with new tongues. Believers should speak with new tongues. The same way that we should walk in health, the same way that we should deal with demons if they pop their head up. It's all the same thing. We're believers. We believe God. This has not passed away. So let's go over to Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking. So, you have the disciples assembled together, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. He's already risen. He said, don't go anywhere. Why? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he said, don't go out. You need this gift. You need what I'm going to give to you. There are a whole lot of people that think you don't need it. And they're going around telling everybody, I'm not saying it's bad to preach about Jesus without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm saying. But God himself said, stay until you get this. You need it. If they needed it, we need it. It's the same thing. So down, skip down to verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This will give you the power to be witnesses, the power for the whole package, to do what he talked about in Mark, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Speak with other tongues. If demons raise their head, to deal with them. Jesus said, don't go anywhere, stay and wait for it. It is not really optional equipment to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now let's skip down to chapter 2. Now when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All the disciples. That includes the mother of Mary. That blows some people away right there. So you don't have, it's not in your scripture sheet, but let me read you in chapter 1, verse 13. It said, and when they had entered, this is saying who's in the upper room, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the upper room. Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke with other tongues. She's a tongue talker. That blows some whole denominations away. But it's a good way to talk to certain people. And, you know, if they make a whole lot of Mary, you know, Mary talked and spoke in tongues too. Really? Yeah, it's right here. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I'm back in chapter 2, verse 1 now. And suddenly, so they were all there, right? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They all spoke with other tongues. Is that what your Bible says? Or I guess you're looking at a sheet. That's what my Bible says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So then they went outside and people heard them speaking in their language and stuff. So people will say, well, see, that was just for that one day. That just meant that enabled them to preach the gospel for that one day. And that's just what, this is a specific gift that just allows you to speak in other tongues. Well, Paul said, I mean, over and over, you're building it up for your edification. When you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. It talks about speaking in tongues in the church. What? So you're all there. You got to speak in tongues. He's talking about speaking in tongues in the church. So what? People can't understand you. So you have to speak in tongues to translate to people that you're already there that obviously know you and can talk to you. They all spoke with Aramaic anyway. These people weren't all. They all spoke a common language called Aramaic. So they all spoke to each other with a different language than their home tongue anyway. But no, we're going to read other verses where people spoke in other tongues. And it has nothing to do with people hearing them in their own tongue. It doesn't have anything to do with that. This is an incident. Yes, there were some things where people heard. They were speaking in other tongues and they heard them speaking in their own language. I've heard stories of that, a lot of stories like that from people. Where they ended up, there was one man where... He was Jewish. He was a Jewish person. He was in a service, and somebody gave a message in tongues. And the man came up afterwards, and I can't remember exactly all the details. He was speaking stuff, and this man heard him, and he said, "You were speaking perfect Hebrew." And this man did not speak Hebrew, and he told him what he was saying, and it changed this man's heart. Well, that's a sign, but it doesn't always have to be like that. You're speaking some language, but it can be a tongue of angels or it can be a tongue of men. But it's not just for preaching the gospel like that. It's for, again, if I'm in my closet praying, like it was talking about when you're building yourself up over there in 1 Corinthians 14:4, that has nothing to do with it. Nobody else can hear me. So I'm not translating for anybody. I'm building myself up. I'm recharging my battery. So verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let's turn over to Acts 8. How you guys doing? You all right? I don't want to go too long, but I don't want to just cut down the middle just to get out of here or anything. You know, if you guys are doing all right, we'll keep going. Acts 8. Now look at this scripture. People say, well, that's, you know, unnecessary, or you just receive the Holy Spirit when you get born again. That's what it's referring to. Well, yes, the Holy Spirit, you're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. You're sealed, but it's a separate experience from salvation. And we're going to see that several times. It's a different experience. Now, in verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So he's preaching the gospel. He preached Christ. What's Christ? The forgiveness of sins. God has taken all your sins on Jesus. Receive him. Okay? He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, there's demons again, came out. See, he's doing what believers are supposed to do. See, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed were lame and healed. Does that sound like what we read in Mark? Shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Shall cast out demons. And there was great joy in the city. In that city. This is the way we're supposed to evangelize people today. They're supposed to get free of what is binding them. They're supposed to turn to Jesus. And this is supposed to be the way it's happening. There's great joy in that city. So skip down to verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized into Jesus. Then Simon himself also believed, and he is talking about the sorcerer. We're not going to go into that. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which are done. Verse 14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that the Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But they already received Christ, right? So if that was just part, Holy Spirit's just part of getting saved, they already have the Holy Spirit, right? That's the way some people explain this away. No, they're saved. They're believing God, right? In verse 14, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So see, you can be saved and not speak in tongues and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But that's not God's best. That's not the way he set it up. But you can do that. And there's a lot of people that are. Not going to hell or anything. It's just like, hey, it's a benefit. Why would I want this? Well, some people have been talked out of it. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, notice this. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. What did he see? If the Holy Spirit, if I pray for you, and it's just something that goes on the inside, I say, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay. How do I know you received it? By hearing. But what is he doing? He saw something. He heard something, right? Mm-hmm. If it's just an internal thing, well, you have the Holy Spirit now. But Simon saying, he saw that through the laying on the hands, the Holy Spirit was given. Something. He's seeing something. He's hearing something. Something's happening. He offered them money. So this guy's offering, he said, give me that power. And they rebuked him and said, you know, no, that's not the way it works. But he says in verse 19, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So you can see that there's something they saw. Well, what was that's why the initial evidence back in what we read in Acts 2. What's the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? It's speaking in tongues. It's to show you that, yeah, you've been filled. So let's go over to, we'll go over to Acts 9 now. So Acts 9, verse 10. So this is where Saul, who's going to be Paul, you know, the road to Damascus, he becomes blinded. Jesus appears to him and asks him why he's kicking against him, all that. And then he goes blind. He can't see. And so Ananias is a disciple. And so we pick up there. So Saul's been blinded. In verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So skip down to verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So it doesn't say, he says, why did he come? That he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Paul. Now, it doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues. But if you turn over to 1 Corinthians 14:18, in the middle of that same chapter which you referenced earlier, this is Paul who wrote this. And what does he say in verse 18? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So it's not a stretch. At some point, Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit. We just read, that's what Ananias said, I'm going to, that you might receive the Holy Spirit. That's the same language as what we just read earlier in Acts, that you might receive the Holy Spirit. And they had the evidence of speaking in tongues. So it's not said directly, but obviously Paul said, he's the one teaching everybody about praying in tongues. He's the one that wrote the verse we said earlier, that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, and he says, I speak with tongues more than you all. So somewhere Paul got filled with the Holy Spirit, which is referred, is the speaking in tongues is in the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ananias said that I came to you receive your sight and that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he received his sight. It is not a stretch to say he received the Holy Spirit. If he didn't do it there, somewhere along the line he did, because he's speaking with other tongues. Bottom line is, Paul said he speaks with other tongues more than you all. So, it's very consistent to see that that's when he received that, because he obviously did speak with tongues. So let's go in Acts then, let's go a little further. So we got to have evidence for what we believe, but you know, you read the Bible, it's there. That's how faith comes, is when you read, you see it, then you act on it, you believe. That's how we get saved, that's how we receive anything. So this account here, this is where Cornelius, the whole chapter, if you want to read it, Acts 10, is all talking about Cornelius. It says that he's a centurion, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household. And so he feared God, and God sends Peter to him. Cornelius sees a vision that a man named Peter, that somebody's going to come to him. Peter sees a vision that he's supposed to go and basically share the gospel with Cornelius. And Cornelius is a Gentile, so Peter doesn't initially think that's right, and he gets revelation on that. So he's going to Cornelius and all his household. And so if you look through in verse 34, he's preaching to Cornelius' household and preaching the gospel to them. And so we'll pick up a little bit before verse 44. I'll just read it to you. So he's in the middle of a sermon preaching to the people there, which God sent him to preach to Cornelius so they might get saved. So in verse 42, he says, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So he's preaching the gospel to them. And then verse 44, which is on your sheet. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jewish people, who believed were astonished. So they, you know, this whole thing is the gospel is being preached to Gentiles, which had not been done before. And so this is opening up their eyes that the gospel is for all men, not just the nation of Israel, not just the Jewish people. So they're surprised. And so those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now ask yourself, before we read the next verse, how do they know the Holy Spirit was poured out? Because they're speaking with other tongues, which is what they heard something. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So again, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. That's the biblical way it happens. It's a separate experience from salvation. Somebody could be saved for years. Now, we're going to turn to one more account in Acts. There's basically five accounts, and we're reading all of them. This is evidence. Acts 9, verse 1. 19, verse 1, sorry. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So these are, what do they call them? These are disciples. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to them, "We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." That describes a lot of people that are Christians. We don't even know. They've heard of the Holy Spirit, but they don't know. They basically said, "We don't know what you're talking about." So they said to him, "We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after them, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." So again, these people were disciples. He said, "Have you heard? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" "No, we didn't. We don't know what you're talking about." Okay, so he laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. It's the same pattern that we read in all the other accounts in Acts. That the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues or being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking with other tongues. So, you know, we read several, you know, scriptures initially about the benefits, and we could go into some of those things. Let me just read over a couple of these scriptures. We're not going to go into them. But to wrap up, 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is the conclusion then? "I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with understanding." Going back to what we read initially in Romans, that even though our understanding, even though we don't know how we should pray, we can pray in the Spirit. It's the same thing. I will pray with my understanding. I'll pray in English, but I also pray in the Spirit. I can sing in English. I can pray. I can sing in the Spirit. Ephesians 6, verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Yes, you can pray with it in the Spirit in English. You can pray with it in tongues. "Being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication with the saints." It's a weapon. So he's saying, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all spirit or all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication in the saints. And then the last one, Ephesians 5:17, "Therefore do not be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of God." We're not going to go into some of those things, but it is a tool. It's a weapon. God told the initial disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you've received it. And it's the same thing today. There is nothing that says it's passed away. There's a scripture that people use in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, which I'll read to you. It says, love after this, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." And they use that to say, see, tongues have ceased, because they say the Bible is the perfect, once that is perfect, that has come, they say that's the Bible, we don't need tongues anymore. Well, if that's the case, look what it says in the same verse. "But whether there are prophecies, they will fail." There are still prophecies. "Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." Has knowledge vanished away? So then why is tongues vanish away? Is knowledge gone? Did knowledge vanish away because the Bible came? No. The tongues are it is in the same verse. Tongues have not vanished away either. Tongues are for today. Tongues are something that we need. Why? What are tongues specific? It's the evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is boldness, which the early church had, which we've seen over and over. They've been, people have been saved, but you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need it. It's a tool. It gives us boldness. It allows these gifts of the Spirit to flow through us. Amen.